my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, He will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord.
Well, greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord, and friends of the Lord. It's so good to have access to God, you know, to have a new heart that enables us to love God and our neighbor. And it's so good to have the eyes of our hearts opened so that we can see and understand the Word of God. Today, I'd like for us to consider Psalm 4 one last time. We've already considered it on two other occasions, and we will look at the final part of this psalm today. I'll read the entire psalm so that we'll all have a context. Psalm 4, beginning at verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent, Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen. God our Father, as we come to your word now, I just ask you to enlighten us, enlighten our eyes and our hearts that we might see clearly and understand what you've recorded here in this psalm. Meet us now, Holy Spirit. Be free to do your work with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, for the last time, we're going to use the subject of when trouble follows you to the bedroom. As I said before, we've looked at this on two other occasions, so you might remember that this is a nighttime psalm about nighttime struggles that David is having. Of course, you know the night was typically the time for sleep and resting, but trouble followed David. Trouble followed him before he was an adult, in his family, with his experiences as a young shepherd, with animals, with lions and bears. He found trouble with his enemies, even as a youth. Trouble followed David after he was an adult as well. You might remember that King Saul pursued him in envy and jealousy and insecurity. His own family members, trouble from his multiple wives and children of those wives. You might remember, as we covered this, that he had trouble from his enemies and found trouble from within his own heart as he yielded to temptation with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband that followed that tragic event. So here we are in this psalm where we see that trouble has followed David to his own bedroom. And now he's struggling at night as he wants to find real peace and rest and sleep. He's made this clear in Psalm number 6 and verse 6 that he finds himself in tears in his own bedroom, on his own pillow. Well, as we address this subject matter today, I simply want to comment that when we started our examination of this psalm, we were not aware, certainly not aware locally, of the ramifications of the coronavirus and the impact that it was having on the world. We are keenly aware of that now, keenly aware of the troubles that can come from this virus directly and indirectly. So we want to keep that in mind as we talk about trouble in our lives, though I won't continue to address the virus specifically. We know that God has given these principles for us to handle trouble of any nature. This trouble is no different than any other trouble for the Christian. With the Lord, we have a pathway to victory. So let's examine this issue together. So now, with that as a backdrop, you remember from verse 1 that we have seen that that the believer is always to pray when we meet trouble. Pray in reverence, pray with confidence, and pray for mercy. We've also seen in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 that a believer has a testimony for people. While you are in your own trouble, a believer has a word for people while you're in your trouble. The believer has a word for those who cause his or her pain. And that word is in verses 2 and 3, that it's vain to unjustly trouble a believer. It is vanity. In verse 3, we basically see that the Lord will eventually vindicate the believer. So this is a word. A believer has something to say to even his or her abusers or persecutors. We likewise see that a believer has something to say to those who are in pain as well. Verses 4 and 5 say that we can encourage others who are hurting to use anger for righteous purposes and exercise self-control with your speech. Verse 4, be angry and do not sin, right? And then finally, verse 5, as we conclude our review, that the believer has a word for the hurting believer to continue to worship God and trust him with the outcome. Verse 5, offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. All right, well, that's a real quick review that hopefully gets us all on the same page as we try to conclude this great psalm. Our emphasis today will basically be on verses 6, 7, and 8. Let's think about them again. Beginning with verse 6, listen to it. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. So, in essence, this is the thought for the believer. A believer should have praise for God even when other people are pessimistic and complaining. You see? These two verses say to us that our perspective must be higher, must be greater than those who only bring us pessimism when we're hurting. We should still have praise for God, even when the pessimists are all around us. Now, how is that to happen? You hear the pessimism in the first sentence of verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us some good? You see? You hear that pessimism just dripping from that phrase? Who will show us some good? But how then is a believer going to be delivered from that pessimism? That's what the remainder of verse 6 and 7 present. This is the way out of that pessimistic mindset that people try to put up on us when we're hurting. You notice that it's prayer. Prayer should lead to praise. That's what we see in the remainder of verse 6 and verse 7. Prayer, look at the second sentence in verse 6. Lift up the light of your faith face upon us, O Lord. You see that? That's the believer who can disregard the pessimism of all of the dismal views and concepts that people bring when you're in trouble. But you can look above that and still pray to God. Pray to God and find that that prayer will lead to praise. That's verse 7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Amen. There it is. A believer's joy should not be derived from, you know, the varying circumstances of life. Should not be derived from the fickle circumstances of life that change so frequently. As a matter of fact, you might remember from 1 John, he likewise reminds us how dangerous it is to put our hope and our trust in the things of the world. This is the way it reads in 1 John 2, 15, 16, and 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Amen. So, we are encouraged here not to derive our joy from these fickle and varying circumstances of life, from finances. We shouldn't derive our joy from finances or from health or popularity or possessions. All of these things can and will change in life. They are varying. And so if joy is attached to these varying things, you can see that joy will be drugged in so many weird directions. But the Lord is the true source of joy. You see? The Lord is the true source of joy. And that's the point that David is driving and bringing home in verse 7. He said, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Can you see that? The Lord is the true source of joy. Now, then you can finally see as we move forward that the Lord is also the true source of peace. That's verse 8. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. There it is, joy and peace from the Lord. Joy and peace from the Lord enables the believer to enjoy life daily and sleep well nightly in times of trouble. Think of that now. Let God rivet that in your heart. These three verses bring home to us the remedy for getting a good night's sleep when trouble is all around us. Joy and peace from the Lord enable the believer to enjoy life daily and sleep well nightly in times of trouble. You might remember Jesus said it this way, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. He said also, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen. Did you hear what Jesus said? He said, my joy. And he said, my peace. My brother, my sister. Jesus is our joy and our peace in times of trouble. Amen. So then, my brothers, my sisters and friends, like David, we all will experience trouble. There are no exceptions. There are no exemptions. There are no exclusions. There are no excuses or explanations or excursions or extenuating circumstances that will remove this reality. So then, what should we do? Like David, we should meet and greet our troubles with prayer. Jesus said that we should always pray and not lose heart. After prayer, we should always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks how we are able to press on in our own trials and not give up. We have a testimony inside us, my brother, my sister, a testimony inside us before the trouble is over. The testimony is in you while the trouble is all around you. The testimony is in you while trouble is trying to crush you. Trouble should never silence a believer or rob us of our sleep. We pray to God in reverence with confidence. We proclaim to people in grace and humility. We praise God with joy as we sleep at night with peace. Did you hear the psalm? This is the summary of this psalm. Listen to it again. We pray to God in reverence with confidence. That's how we begin our time. We face our trouble. We proclaim to people in grace and humility. And we praise God with joy as we sleep at night in peace. We pray, we proclaim, we praise, and we sleep peacefully while God takes us through our trouble. We have something to say to believers who are in pain just as we are. God will vindicate you. God will deliver, protect, and provide for you. We can encourage other believers that are hurting to be angry and do not sin. God is still good, and he is causing all things to work together for good. The Lord is my light, David said at another occasion, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, just as David had something to say, you too, my brother, my sister, have something to say, even in your trouble. God is worthy to be praised when you're hurting. He's worthy to be praised when you're hungry, worthy to be praised when you're horrified and appear hopeless. God is worthy to be praised when you've been manipulated, isolated, and aggravated. No one will give you a handout or a hand up, but God is still worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised when no one thinks you will ever recover from this one. Just remember, when trouble tries to keep you from sleeping, God is still worthy to be praised. Therefore, my brother, my sister, continue to pray, continue to proclaim, continue to praise, and sleep peacefully until the Lord brings you safely through all your troubles. Let the church say amen. And if you are not a Christian, your trouble with Satan and sin will keep you restless, depriving you of this joy and peace. But if you will call on Jesus, he will hear you. Put your trust in Jesus, and he will save you. Come to Jesus. He will forgive your sins and you will have a testimony of your own. You'll be able to lay down and sleep in peace nightly. But you must believe in Jesus with all your heart. Will you trust him and believe him today? May God richly bless all of you. Amen.